Going into chapter 13 now, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Now this takes us back, not to the middle, but earlier. In the 7 years, there will be a seven-headed empire, seven heads and ten horns. We learn from Revelation 17 that the ten horns are ten kings. Rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. There is one item here that changes in the dragon and in this. Do you notice what it is? The crown. The dragon in the third verse of the 12th chapter, he has seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. Now in this that we just read, there's crowns upon the ten horns. So things move around a little bit. And the beast which I saw, he includes, you remember the beast that Daniel saw, a lion, a leopard, and a bear, and he saw an unnameable beast. And so the first one is a leopard. Great rapidity. His feet as the feet of a bear, great stealth. A bear isn't the awkward animal that he is supposed to be. A bear has been clocked running at 40 miles an hour. He ought to try to run 40 miles an hour sometimes. They are one of the strongest animals that lives. A warden said he said a bear doesn't hold somebody to crush them. He holds something so he can bite it. And he said he saw a bear pick up a 60-pound pig and grab it and jerk its head off at one jerk. Now that was quite a jerk. A bear is an extremely strong animal. Did you ever see a moose? They're a huge animal. Did you ever see a bear's claw? A bear's claw is bigger than your finger. I saw one, I judged he weighed 150 pounds. I saw him go up a tree like a squirrel. Drove up on him eating in the Yellowstone National Park. But somebody told me that a bear, a grizzly, they're huge, could disembowel an elk, a moose, at one blow of his powerful paw. They have such claws. His mouth is the mouth of a lion, roaring and powerful. The dragon, this devil, this Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now notice this in the 11th chapter. One of these men, one of these leaders will eventually become the beast. Back in the 7th verse of the 11th chapter, the beast is mentioned for the first time, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. Then you will notice here that we will read that one of his heads was wounded to death and his deadly wound is healed. He will be killed. There are two references to this in this chapter. In the 17th chapter, notice 8 and 11, just a moment. The 8th verse says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. And then in verse 11, the beast that was and is not, he is the 8th and is of the 7 and goeth into perdition, goeth into judgment. And of course, he will be the one that will ascend out of the bottomless pit. But going back to our chapter, the devil will give him, this word translated seat is throne. The devil will give him his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. Now notice there are seven heads and ten horns, but this personality that is wounded to death will get in charge of it all. When we get to the 20th chapter, it'll be the beast that is taken and cast into the bottomless pit, not a league of nations, but an individual man. His deadly wound was healed. And notice verse 12, he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. And then again in verse 14, which had the wound by the sword and did live. Now this is emphasized, that he was killed and came out of the pit. He'll go to hell for a short time. Now Brother Copley infers that maybe he will be dead 3 days. A woman was teaching one time and she called me up and asked me, Brother Franklin, where does it say in Revelation that the beast will be dead 3 days? I said, well, it doesn't say it. Well, she was so confident that it did. No, it doesn't say it. Brother Copley infers that it may be, and it could be. All the world wondered after the beast. Now, just to use an illustration, suppose on television you would see President Reagan shot to death. There would be a funeral. Everybody would know it. It would be known around the world. A few days later, they announce they've got something tremendous to show. President Reagan comes on television. That's just an illustration. President Reagan isn't going to be the beast. Now notice they worship the dragon. That to me is one of the most astonishing of statements, that the world will worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Used to be, we had the idea, who could make war with the United States? We may be finding out one of these days, I hope not. And remember that about this time, the beast will begin to show himself that he is God. We're not pinpointing it right here, we're just mentioning it. There was given unto him a mouth. Remember in Daniel how often we read of that creature, that man that's going to speak such great things, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now earlier in the chapter, we read of crowns upon the horns, but upon the heads, names of blasphemy. And in the 17th chapter, we'll see similar language. But here, earlier God said, I will give power unto my two witnesses. Here the beast gives power to this, rather the dragon gives power to this man. There was given in him a mouth, speaking great things, and it was given in him to continue 42 months. Now here is the last date given in the book of Revelation. That's why I say sometime soon we want to have a lesson on the chart. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell therein. Do you know what the word blaspheme means? It means to vilify. That is to make to appear vile. I told you about the young man that called God the old Lord. Now he wasn't blaspheming God, he was sincere. But I have known people to curse God and call Jesus a foul name. In our part of the country, it was said that a man, he got up one morning after a big storm and a big, great big log had been washed away out in his field, and I hate to say this, but he called Jesus a ball-headed so-and-so. Well, he doesn't know whether he was or not. I hemmed a mouse up in the corner one time and it turned on me. You know, you kind of smile at such things. Well, that mouse he could injure me, but a man can't injure God. But they do not have the comparative power that there would be between a mouse and a man. God felt sorry for the poor saphead. It was given to him to make war with the saints. Now this will be Jewish saints. I think it will be very humiliating to the beast to have to make war on two Jews, the witnesses. Then he will try to destroy others, and he will overcome them. Power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. He will exercise it a very short time. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Notice in Revelation 2 and 3, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. But here, the churches are not mentioned because they're gone. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. There will be martyrs at this time. Now that's the national powers that we're reading about. Now we come to the religious side of it. This beast is possibly and probably a Jew. He may be the Jewish leader of the day. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. The two horns probably speaks of the fact that he will try to appeal to Jew and Gentile, and he is called pointedly, notice the 16th chapter and the 13th verse, I saw unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And then in the 20th chapter, in the war that takes place, we read, not the 20th chapter, the 19th. The 20th verse says, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. And he is called the false prophet, and he leads the religious side of things and works hand in glove with the beast. He exerciseth all the power. Now remember that the first beast, we learn this in Thessalonians 2, shall come with all power and signs and lying wonders. You will remember that. All the power of the first beast, and he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. This is his miracle, and it will be his argument. They will say now, the Christians claimed through the years that they had a leader that had been raised from the dead. What do they have over us? We have the same thing. I do not doubt that they will say, isn't this the real God? This is how they will deceive men to go forth open-eyedly and fight against the Lamb. The 13th verse, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, like Elijah did. Fire came down from men a number of times. Sometimes it was the wrong kind of fire. In the book of Job, fire fell and destroyed the sheep. Fire fell when they dedicated the altar in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. God answered David by fire. Fire came down for Elijah on three different occasions, once in a sacrifice, twice to burn up the men that had been sent to arrest him. And this will be quite an argument. If I come here with a special claim next Tuesday night and you challenge me and I say, watch, and a great flash of fire comes, you'd say, do it again. I can't believe my own eyes. And the first people hear about it. Then I go out and demonstrate it to everybody. It's real fire. I get a following. It grows fast. These days, communications are such that things can spread very rapidly. Say the Queen of England gets killed in a car crash. By this time in the morning, every nation in the world will know it. That's how fast things travel now, by television, radio, satellites. This is the acme of communication. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword, rather by a sword, and did live. Now here you have, in my opinion, what will be the abomination of desolation, the image of the beast placed in the temple at Jerusalem. And worshiping this will have the most dire consequences. The 14th chapter in the 9th verse says, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And then it goes on, another whole verse about it. But we'll come to that at a later hour. And he had power to give life, some translate it breath, unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast, the image of the beast, should be killed. I visited the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia in 1954, and there was a woman, not a bad-looking woman. She was entirely mechanical. You pushed a button, she came to attention, took a pen and wrote a whole sheet, same thing every time. Then and there was a policeman there. You push a button, he'd salute you smartly. And that was several years ago. I imagine some of the images that they have made now could almost deceive you. But at this time, there's going to be something developed. Maybe it will be a total mechanical deception, but it's going to be enough to deceive the world. And incidentally, mechanically speaking, scientifically speaking, we have an enlightened world. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and this is the mark of the beast. Though no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, the name of the beast. Now the Greek brings out that the mark and the name are the same, or the number of his name. Now, here are two strangleholds. Religiously, worship the image of the beast or be killed. That's the religious side of it. The other one is the commercial side of it. Take this mark or you can't buy or sell. You see the two strangleholds that are going to be thrown on the race religiously and commercially. The beast will have charge of it. And here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now the devil will, the beast will make a covenant with the Jews for 7 years, but he won't get to carry out that 7 years. It'll be shortened. And he never gets to God's seven. It's always just a six. Now, ever so often, somebody figures out what the mark is and what the number is. Well, you do like I have come to do. Periodically and regularly, there will be a book on the market that somebody has found the ark that Noah left on Mount Ararat. And it'll sell enough that he'll make a sizable piece of money off of it. That's why he writes it. I heard a man announce one time, in order to get a crowd, on New Year's night, I'm going to preach on the prophecies that have been fulfilled in the past year. They came, and I went, and among other things, he said, I can't point to one specific prophecy that's been fulfilled this year. Well, that's about the way these fellows are. Now, it doesn't matter really now, basically to us, what does it matter what the mark and the name of the beast is or what his number will be? We won't be here. We'll be in heaven. To those to whom it will be that it will concern, they will know. This warning in 6, or rather in 14 that I just read, is not a warning for us. It's a warning for those that will be here at that time. Yes. Yes, it will be, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. This statement is found in Matthew 10, in Matthew 24, and in Mark 13. And it's going to be just up against it. During the war past, there was what they call black market. I ran into a man in India that was continually scared. And this was years after the war. He had run black market stuff after the war, or during the war, and he thought the police were after him all the time. We needed a lot of screen wire for a camp meeting, and I went to a fellow that I knew, and he said, I'll sell you all the screen wire you want. You could buy a limited amount. There was a time when I could go and buy enough for one window, and that was it. This man said, I'll sell you all the screen wire you want. It's black. I said, I don't care what color it is. He said, black market. Well, can you imagine what it would be like? No marvel that a measure of wheat will go for a penny and 2 measures of barley. You see why it will be taken over, and what a time to keep a family alive. Do you begin to understand why, now this is comes earlier than this, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more? When you see a condition like this, this will be a part of the Great Tribulation. It's called a Great Tribulation, and this is part of it. The devil will come down hating people, having great wrath. He will bring this about through this man that he ordains. The man will say, okay, worship me or get killed. A law will be passed. It will be quick. It will be ordered all at once. You say, how do you know that? Matthew 24. Notice how it reads, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then let them which be on the housetop not go into the house to take anything. Let them that are out in the field don't go back to get anything out of the house. Take off just as soon as you hear it. Take off then. There's going to be a decree issued that you will be killed if you don't take the image of the beast. And